Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, May the 13th, 2026, 5:13:26, 17 minutes past the hour. It is the middle of the week. How about that? We've already made it to midweek. This week's just flying right by. It is sunny outside this morning, and I don't have the current temperature in front of me, but I think it's pretty mild out there this morning. Although, we got more rain overnight. I'm telling you, it's like Southern California here. You remember that song? It's like Southern California. It just rains here all the time. Or maybe Eddie Rabbit. I love the rainy night. All right, go ahead, caller.
Love your veterans.
There you go. It's been a while. How you been?
I've been globetrotting. I was talking with Putin a couple weeks ago, and he's really starting to feel bad about himself.
Is that right?
Yes, and you know, what's left of the Ayatollah, he said, you know, he doesn't have a leg to stand on since he lost one, but he's given serious consideration to acquiescing and letting his people be free.
You know, maybe neither one of them got their mothers something on Mother's Day, and they're guilt-ridden over that.
Oh, I'm sure they didn't. But, you know, you have to have empathy to care about your mother. These people obviously don't. I think, unfortunately, they were abused children.
Well, that's true. You know, empathy and sympathy are two important traits that every human being should have, and I wonder from time to time if we all have those.
Well, you remember Robert Conrad?
Yes, I do.
Wild, Wild West.
Wild, Wild West, yeah.
I watched a documentary about him, and it reminded me one thing. He always said, "Treat me nice, and I'll treat you nicer."
Hey, by the way, speaking of documentaries, did you watch this I guess it was called a documentary, last night on ABC that Diane Sawyer did on Richard Simmons?
No.
Oh.
I don't watch network anything.
Well,
I can't pick up 610-4 or 28 on the antenna.
Well, that's what, because I get them all on my antenna. I must be in the right place. But
you're in the right place, yeah.
I didn't plan on it last night because it's been a long time since I've sat down and actually watched something as it was playing live. But it was about 8:30 last night, and I saw a commercial for this thing on the Roku, which is normally what I pay attention to. And it said it was going to be on ABC at 9 o'clock, and I knew I could get that on the antenna. So I turned it over there, and I thought, I'm not a big fan of Richard Simmons. Is this really going to be all that entertaining? This thing was fascinating. Fascinating, the life this man lived and how he died. I mean, it was unbelievable for anybody who saw that last night. It was something.
If I recall, he espoused health and healthy living and exercise and that.
Yes, but he...
But he succumbed to the opposite of what he was promoting.
Well, basically, how this documentary came about, and people can probably pull it up on some kind of app. There we go. But essentially, he professed all of that, but he disappeared for 10 years. Not seen by anybody. There are no pictures of him because even in his home, he would not let people take pictures of him. From 2014 to 2024, he did not go outside of the house unless he was in costume and would not do interviews, would not do anything. And he was planning to come out again and start doing things, and he had been sending Diane Sawyer flowers because that's who he wanted to do the big interview with after 10 years. And his birthday came up in 2024, and he died out of the blue. She was planning to come out and do the interview in the it was like a matter of weeks after he died. They had talked on the phone, and I don't think this will ruin the documentary, but basically he got up the night of his birthday, which I guess was July of 2024, I believe, and took a fall in the bathroom. And he really hurt himself far worse than he thought he did. But he did not want to go to the hospital on his birthday. So the only people really with him, or the only person really with him, was a housekeeper. And she was in the documentary last night. And she said she begged him to go to the hospital because she could tell he was really hurt. He didn't want to go. He said he would go the next day because he wanted to spend his birthday at home. And she found him dead on the floor the next morning. I mean, it was something. Hey,
I watched a documentary last night, I Am Sam, about Sam Kinison.
I've seen that.
Yeah, that's a hell of a story. Hell of a story. And he was just trying to go to a gig, and some idiot runs head on, kills him. His wife of, I think, a couple weeks survived, but he didn't.
Well, and just one more thing. I think the moral of this documentary is not necessarily the way he died, but this 10-year seclusion that he had. And essentially, the best anybody could figure out, because he's dead and he can't say, but from the housekeeper to his brother to people who worked with him, they said essentially because he was out there so much all those years and doing what he did, that it took its toll on him. And basically, more or less, he did not want people to see him age, and he was starting to have some trouble with his knees and things of that nature, and he did not want people to see that. And he basically was in a 10-year depression and would not leave the house.
Well, that's the way it is. People's, what do I want to say? I can't think of the word right now. They don't want people to see that they're normal, or they're not what they've led everybody to believe. Pride, I guess.
Well, and I think with him being a fitness guru and being that hope for people, I think he was a little upset that people, basically it all led down to this bum leg and kind of the fact that he was losing his hair and getting older. And he just did not want people not to see him looking as healthy as he always had professed to be.
Yep, well, hey, that's life.
That's that. But it was an interesting documentary.
Let's talk on a high note, a good note.
All right.
On her flight at home in Marion, Ohio, that's going to be Saturday, June the 6th, at Tri Rivers. Now, you can contact, and if next week you'd like Margie Saul to be on, she can fill you in with all the details. But the deadline for applications is May 27th, and you can touch base with her. Oh, where's her phone number? 740-360-8902. Or I email saullgw4@yahoo.com.
Now, this is for veterans, right?
The deadline is May 27th, and they're looking, hopefully we can get some World War II veterans, Korean War, and Vietnam War veterans. Now, these would be for people who have not gone to the honor flight in Washington, D.C. those people have already been recognized. These are for those over age 65 that have not previously gone on an honor flight and cannot travel to Washington, D.C. Hence, we have Honor Flight at Home. And that's going to be Saturday, June the 6th. Check-in starts at 1. Program runs about 2 to 3. But the deadline for applications is May 27. That's 14 days from today.
Now, I do want to let people know that we do have a flyer. It's on our social media page, so if people go there, WGH Talk Marion, Ohio, it is posted there, so you can get a lot of the information there. And just to be clear, because some people have been confused about this, I think because it falls under the honor flight, this is an event that happens at Tri Rivers.
Well, Honor Flight Columbus apparently is coordinating with Honor Flight at Home in Marion. So they're working kind of hand in hand, following their protocols, etc. So this is something for those who have not gone to Washington and are unable to travel.
Right.
Hopefully they can travel and make it easier to come to Marion to Tri Rivers and be honored.
Yes, it's a nice event they do out there.
I believe this is the seventh year for that.
Yeah.
But Margie Saul can be contacted at 740-360-8902. And then another event that's coming up, and hopefully it becomes a tradition, May 23rd, it kind of snuck up, that's Memorial Day weekend, Saturday, May 23rd, 11:30 to 12:30, stand by your veterans banner. Give 1 hour to those who gave their all. People can set up a table, have lunch, invite family and friends, but give 1 hour from 11:30 in the morning till 12:30 p.m. noon. 1 hour to honor those.
And we also have a flyer for that up on our social media page. So if you go there.
One thing with Honor Flight, we are very fortunate. TV39 has been running, I shot a public service announcement for the Honor Flight. TV39 has been running it. It's a 1 minute public service announcement. So those who watch TV39, it's going to be on 3 or 4 times a day. Don't know what the times are. It just comes up in rotation. But they've been kind enough to help promote the events because, as you may recall, David Aiken was a veteran.
Yes, yes. Yep, very good. Very good. So these are two big events coming up here with Memorial Day upon us. Memorial Day comes earlier. I believe the 31st is on a Sunday, so I believe this is as early as Memorial Day can come in
right.
May this year.
Yeah, Monday the 25th is the national day, but originally, I think it was 29th. I don't know. Everything's been so jumbled for the political agendas.
So,
but at any rate, these two events are coming up. Take a look at TV39. Take a look at, Naomi Craig, I think, posted it as well. So we have her to thank for that. And I don't know how soon it's going to be done, but I have a buddy of mine from the Navy that's going to be help documenting that day. He was the day-to-day documentarian of Oval Office under the Clinton and Bush administration. He'll be there videotaping the events as well. Andrew Carter's going to be the on-camera talent interviewing people. So hopefully within 3-4 weeks, we'll have that done, and we can post that, and people can take a look and see what it's all about, and Honor Flight at Home can use that to help recruit other people.
That's good. How? What's Andrew doing now? I haven't seen him in a long time.
He is working, I don't know his title, he's working with, I guess it's Market Industries. So I don't know exactly what he's doing. I would say marketing and public relations from what conversations we've had, and not really asking him, well, what's your title? So, but
no,
we did
good.
Talk quite a bit about what it is he's doing, et cetera.
No, that's good. Hey, I got to ask you why we have you here on the phone. Anything you make? It's been a while since we talked last of the comings and goings in Marion. As we get closer to whatever deadline we're up against here with the financial issues.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The state of Ohio.
Very close.
I have, you know, I've been absent because you can get too much of a good thing.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I think, it's just, I have never covered a news cycle like the last 2.5 years. It has been so up and down and so back and forth that it's been something, I guess is the best way to put it. And maybe it's coming to culmination now.
I talked with Aaron Rollins and Thaddeus Smith about ways we can get stretch tax dollars and get our money's worth. One of them was whether the streetlights are working or not, we're paying for every streetlight that is non-functioning. Why can't the cops, when they're making their rounds, go, oh, the light at such and such address or between this street and that street, and contact the electric company and get the lights fixed? I mean, those street lights are a deterrent to crime. So, you know, that's one thing. Plus, just think of how many gallons of gas could be saved if we had police officers riding bicycles around certain districts, areas, whatever, in the city. Number one, it would put them in better health, quite possibly even lower the insurance premiums for them. That's something to consider.
Well, just in the last 2 weeks, learning that the police department is down 8 people since the first of the year, and the fire department is down 5 people since the start of the year, and it's all because of anxiety, because people are being are afraid to be laid off, that's the driver there. That's an amazing turn of events in and of itself. And then the fact that we got 29-year-old Nathan Stevenson appointed to the 4th Ward as the new city council person this past Monday, just 2 days ago. That was interesting. Certainly now the youngest person on city council, age-wise. A good Catholic boy. He mentioned that, his faith, in the interview I did with him after the meeting. A lot of interesting stuff going on there.
Well, I'm leery of anybody who puts their faith out forefront. Look at Robert Landon. Jeez, give me a break. Look at the Ayatollah Khomeini, crying out loud. I'm kind of wondering, I actually watched to a point where I almost threw up city council via the whatever Facebook or YouTube, and I was kind of shocked when they mentioned, what's his name, Stevenson?
Yeah, Nathan Stevenson.
I looked at him, I thought, this guy looks like he's filled his shorts, scared shitless, not knowing what to do, like a deer caught in your headlights. So, it'll be interesting.
It will be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see how active he is, or if he just rubber stamps stuff, or contributes to any kind of dialogue on legislation.
Well, we talked about that yesterday. I think one of the reasons he may have looked nervous was that I don't think he thought about applying for that seat until the last 7 days. He said all this in the interview, so it's not like it's off the record. But apparently, Mayor Collins had contacted his mother within the last week about her the possibility of her running for office. She didn't want to do it. So they were having some conversations, and he decided that he would like to do it. And when he went in there Monday, he was not sure at all that he was going to get it, because there were other candidates. And a matter of fact, other people had pretty strong feelings that they might get it. So the fact that the vote ended up being that lopsided, 5-1, in favor of him, I don't think was anything he saw coming. So I think that
this was sprung on him.
Well, I don't know.
At council.
Well, he knew why he was coming, but I don't think he knew that he. I don't think he thought he was a shoo-in to get it. So I think
interesting
that was,
thing. What I thought was interesting, I thought, was the mayor ever going to end with that swearing in? My God, who wrote that? You know?
Well, I think that came from the law director.
Jesus Christ. I could be wrong, but I think that was longer than the oath of office for president.
Well, I don't know. It didn't seem that long in the room, but there was another point you mentioned there about Nathan. Oh, about rubber stamping everything. Yeah, because I asked him about that there are a large amount of people who feel that essentially the Republicans are voting with the Republicans and everything is being block voted, and what was that, what he was going to do, essentially. And he said he sees every issue, I think is what he said, on an issue-by-issue basis. So time will tell how he feels in regard to voting with other people. Although, I can't say that the votes have been all uniform as of late. Monday night, they were a little more uniform. But Aaron Rollins certainly has not been voting with the Republicans. Thad Smith has voted against them several times. Kreider certainly does from time to time. And even Ralph Smith has in this term. So I'm not sure that there's an exact same page.
Well, the theory is they draw lots to see who's going to object. So, you know, it switches from time to time and how many times, etc.
Well, it's interesting to me that essentially the council did kill getting rid completely of the out-of-work tax credit. The mayor certainly did want that to be done, and by the time it got done, it was amended to a 50% tax credit, and I believe passed unanimously on council by those people.
Oh, here's another issue I brought up with Thad Smith and Aaron Rollins. Why do we have to pay for every flush of the toilet or every time we turn on a spigot? If we turn on a spigot to do dishes, laundry, etc., that goes to sanitary sewers. That's all based on the water company's gauge of how much usage is done. That is outrageous. I looked at the bill that I recently got, and it's gone up $10 in the past beginning of the year, I believe. I'd have to look. I've got records going back to 5 years. But Rollins told me those rate increases come directly from the mayor. That's at the mayor's discretion.
Oh, on the sanitation?
Yeah.
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 That's true.
So I would like to know, does the mayor even know calculus? I would like to know the formula that he applies to arrive at those rates.
Well, it's a good question to ask him. I don't know. He's there every Monday.
Well, maybe if he's listening, but it's like Thaddeus Smith said, are you going to come up to council tonight? And I said, well, you know, if I were a bulimic, sure. But thank you.
Hey, well,
I'll watch it and... you know, you give people enough rope, they do a mighty fine job of hanging themselves.
Well, thanks for calling, and hopefully you'll stay tuned.
Well, here's something you might be interested in.
Oh, go ahead.
July 4th or 5th in Delaware will be the premiere of a documentary I've been working on the past, going on 2 years, of The Wall That Heals. And that, I don't know exactly if it's going to be on the 4th or the 5th, but it was all sponsored by the Delaware Veterans Administration.
And this is on the Vietnam Veterans Wall?
Right, yeah. The Wall That Heals. We had it out at Tri Rivers a number of years ago, and then in 24, it was in Havner Park in Delaware. And interesting background of it is, I talked with some people, and I said, well, I'm on board, and he puts his hands up and said, well, that's three, referring to the Magnificent Seven. So I did one better. I called on a friend of mine who was commander in charge of the Atlantic Fleet Combat Film and Video. He went to film school. We went to high school together. He came on board. A buddy of his came on board, who was a Master Chief Petty Officer, and he was in charge of day-to-day documentation for the White House, the Oval Office, President Clinton, and Bush. And I had a Lieutenant Colonel from the Air Force that I went to film school with, and a Master Sergeant from the Air Force I went to film school with, and an Airman I went to film school with. So, essentially had the Magnificent Seven. Oh, we also had my pilot for quadcopters, UAV pilot. He was Coast Guard.
Now,
I said we had the Magnificent Seven.
That's a good... How long did the documentary end up being?
Well, I'm not finished yet. I'm putting the finishing on it. I had 8 wild cameras. And I was in kind of a bad way doing that, but I told everybody what I wanted, and I neglected to slate each camera each day. But some of the metadata, I don't know, goofy, some of the metadata that gave me the date is there, some wasn't. But we had 6 professional people covering this. And 2 of them came from Asheville, North Carolina area, 1 from Toledo, and then 2 from Columbus. So, and then 1 from Marion.
Now, where will it be at?
We don't know yet. It's either going to be on the 4th or the 5th. There was talk about, I can't remember the name of the downtown theater where it will be, but it should be something.
Sounds good.
I'm hoping
something. Keep us updated.
We'll keep you updated.
Hey, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. See, this is your news service here right off the morning. We got information on Honor Flight and Stand By Your Banner, the Veterans Event coming up. And I'm sure we'll hear more about that as we get closer to those events. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Now, something I wanted to mention right off the top of the program this morning, not so much anything political, well, nothing political here. There are 2 great events going on that I don't believe cost anything. Now, one's a suggested donation, but tonight at Harding, there's a big event going on. The Bobby Floyd Trio will be performing from 6 to 7 p.m. at Harding High School. Now, this Bobby Floyd is Marion's only Grammy winner, born here. He'll be performing with his trio there tonight, 6 to 7 p.m., and then the Marion Harding Stardusters and Performers Band will be performing starting at 7 p.m. And this is just a suggested donation. This is no set price. The community's welcome. And if you haven't seen Bobby Floyd, it is something to see. And if you haven't seen the Stardusters and everybody over at Harding, that is something to see as well. Then coming up on Thursday night, I've been hearing all kinds of good things about this event, Bravo, which is going on. It's behind Bucci's up on Center Street, just pulling the parking lot, and it's back there, 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday night. Apparently, a lot of great musical talent at that particular event. So the Bravo event behind Bucci's, and I don't believe there's a fee to get into this, 7 to 9 p.m. on Thursday. So if you're interested in Marion talent, all this is Marion talent. Tonight at Harding, 6 to 7, Bobby Floyd and his trio, a Grammy winner. Then starting at 7, we've got the Stardusters and the band tonight at Harding. And then tomorrow night, Thursday, the Bravo event at the establishment behind Bucci's on Center Street, 7 to 9 p.m. So all kinds of big talent going on. How about that? See, I love musical talent because I have none. So when people can get up and perform like this, I am always amazed by it. So don't forget those two events. All right. Again, phone lines are open here. Oh, by the way, I was going to talk about this. Did anybody else see this Richard Simmons documentary with Diane Sawyer last night? Holy mackerel. What a thing that was. This guy, who was all about weight loss and health and so on and so forth, and always running around in these sequin tops and, you know, little shorts and doing his thing, made more money, I think, off of fitness videos than anybody else in the history of the world, goes into a 10-year seclusion. And the only person around him in that 10 years is his housekeeper. And it's just, you have to watch it to understand all the intricacies that are going on in this man's life. But a 10-year self-imposed exile because of depression, essentially. Didn't want people to see him, how he'd become. That he had a leg problem and that his hair was thinning. And, you know, it's really something that for 10 years there is not a picture of him anywhere. A matter of fact, there is a little bit of a video or a picture, I can't remember, in the documentary. He had to go to the hospital for some procedure at one point, and they actually put a blanket over top of the man. He did not want to be seen that much, and would not allow people, his family members or his housekeeper, who was in the house with him for 10 years, to take any pictures of him. So there is nothing from that time of him. And then to die the way he died, essentially from a fall. I guess he broke his femur, I think is what had happened, and did not want to go to the hospital on his birthday, said he would go to the hospital the next day, and his live-in housekeeper found him on the floor. I mean, how horrible. It's sad ending to what was seemingly a happy guy, but after watching this, I'm not so sure how happy he was. And this is why I think you always ask people how they are. You know, sometimes people seem happy and they'll tell you they're happy, but are they? If they don't seem it, if it doesn't seem to track, as the kids say now, I don't know. I don't know if they are or not. 50 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Radio. We got a whole nother hour next hour. Let's see here. Well, I'll tell this little story, because this has nothing to do with politics either, but it'll just give you a little insight into strange things that go on. And I don't blame anybody for this, because I think it's kind of odd. Really, when I saw the letter, I was kind of taken aback by it. But essentially, what happened was, and I'm not even going to say who the news outlet is or who they are, but it's a completely legitimate news outlet. You know, it's not a phony baloney tabloid or anything like that. But the news outlet, I get an email from them yesterday. Now, this is not a group. I had no idea who this person was, and the email actually went in the spam folder, so I'm lucky I saw it. But it was from them. And I open up the email, and essentially, they were saying that I had taken a quote, I believe is what it was, from one of their articles. And that they just wanted me to give them credit. They weren't so interested in having me take down the quote. They just wanted me to put a link to their article next to the quote. And I could not figure out what quote they were talking about, because I do not have a subscription to the Marianne Star. Well, now you know the group. I do not have a subscription. See, I got to write this stuff. I don't have a subscription to the Marianne Star, so I don't know how I would lift a quote. But but they weren't being rude at all. I don't want to say that at all. But I thought, well, what quote are they talking about? I don't know what in the world they're talking about. So I learned that it was a quote that somebody else had sent me. Obviously, the newspaper did not send me the quote, but somebody else had sent me the quote, and apparently it was a quote that had been in the Marianne Star. So I said, listen, you know, I did not realize that's where it came from. It was not presented to me that that's where it came from, but sure, I'll change it or give you credit or whatever you want. I can't link your paper because I don't have a subscription to it. But if it's your work, you should be given credit for it. So that was essentially that. But the funny thing about this whole thing is that the quote was not really, it was something everybody kind of knew. It wasn't, it had been said in an open meeting. It wasn't like a direct quote given to a person. But, you know, in those situations, I just kind of end up thinking, you know, why fight this little battle? Why have an argument over something that really, it's not important to the story? So, you know, whatever. But this is how it becomes in media. You see, you think media is easy? Media is not easy. And you also learn who's paying attention to you, I guess is the point of this story. You also learn who's paying attention to you, because this quote was certainly not the lead quote in any story that I had published. And it was, a matter of fact, way down in the story. So, you know, people are reading, I guess, and I guess I appreciate that. But that's how it can become sometimes. You know, I guess media is like politics in a way. Everything gets a little sharp-elbowed. I think it was interesting that Terry brought up there the use of religion in politics. Now, I have heard people talk about Nathan Stevenson, the new Fourth Ward councilperson, talking about his Catholicism in the interview I did with him Monday night. You know, I don't know if that's a bad thing or not. I think he was just trying to make the point of why he was a Republican and that abortion is a big issue for him. And that comes from his faith. So, I think if you want to profess your faith, I don't know that that's a horrible thing to do. I don't. When it becomes part of your governing, I think that could be problematic. But I don't know that that is an issue locally at this particular point. In any event, we've got 4 minutes left this hour. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind, and we can discuss it. But, he's 29 years old. I'm sure there's going to be a learning curve there coming into this out of the blue. And I'm sure over time that he will learn what's going on there. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he interacts with the people in the Fourth Ward, to see if that is a good relationship. Because that's really the hallmark, in my opinion, of a good council person. How well do you interact with the people of your ward? So I think time will just tell on this particular situation. I do think it's interesting. I was looking at some of the comments that people were making when we posted his picture and did the little story about him being chosen. You know, and some people were knocking his appearance, how he looked. And I thought, what in the world does this have to do with him being appointed to council? The way the man looks. You know, I think we get off on that so often. It's so easy to attack how somebody looks. You know, it's a 29-year-old kid. He goes down there. He wants to be on council. He puts himself forth. And what does he get immediately? He gets criticized for the way he looks. And I thought, you know, I'm sure he had a happy private life, working at Whirlpool, wanting to get a job at the hospital, and now he's got to have people commenting on his appearance. I don't know if he'll care about anything like that, but, you know, it's just where we are in society, I guess. Don't forget the Bobby Floyd Trio tonight at Harding, 6 p.m., and then the Starduster's and the band tonight at 7, and tomorrow night, the Bravo contest behind Bucci's on Center Street, 7 to 9 p.m., a lot of great local homegrown talent, and you don't have to go into bankruptcy court to get yourself a ticket to either one of these events. So go out, see a lot of talent, enjoy yourself. And as I said, I'm always impressed with people who have great musical talent, because that is something that I have never had. We got the break coming up here in just a few seconds, but we've got a whole nother hour this morning. Stay tuned. There's always more to talk about, always things going on. So you'll have to stay tuned to WGH Talk Radio here with you every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. We enjoy being here. We enjoy taking the phone calls. We enjoy updating the public on what's going on, news-wise, and fun events, like the things going on at Harding tonight and over at Bucci's tomorrow, the big Bravo contest. We're going to step out here for a quick break. We'll be back in just about 10 to 15 minutes.
Place for guests like Dean of the White House Press Corps, Helen Thomas.
Helen, how do you deal with criticism? Because certainly 10 presidents, you've had your share of criticism.